Okay, everyone. Hello. This is Pete Winarski, and this is, once again, a Friday edition of the Institute of Success and Goal Achievement, and we are here with Caroline Sinisa Levine. How did I do on pronunciation today?
You did great. That's perfect.
All right. And that was without a whole lot of practice.
Good.
So that's fantastic. And Caroline, you know, we're going to have a good time today, and I know that you're ready. We've had an opportunity to talk a little bit and to meet on the phone briefly, and we're going to have a nice opportunity to talk about the four obstacles to really driving towards success. And what's interesting is you'll find that these obstacles, if you turn them on your head, can really work to your advantage, can't they?
Yes. So it's two sides of the same coin.
Two sides of the same coin. Yeah, fantastic. And so for those of you who have not joined us at all, and this is your first time, welcome. And let me tell you what we do each and every Friday, with the exception of the 4th of July, which was last Friday. We did take it off, and that was a rare occasion, but we'll probably do that occasionally. But generally what we do is we have a guest like Caroline who has some area of expertise that can really help us as listeners to accelerate our personal success, our business success, whatever our roles may be, whether we're entrepreneurs, whether we have our, whether we have roles within large companies that we're really trying to drive success in a big picture environment, or if we have even just the idea of, doing things better for ourselves and not as individuals, and how we actually work towards achieving our goals. And so Caroline today is going to help us with not only some of her area of her expertise, but also tell a little bit about her story. And the reason I like to start our guests off with their story is because it is very interesting to hear how they ended up with their success, whatever it is, and however they got there, because there's a lot of times that we can learn from whatever they did, and that can accelerate us through the roadblocks or the speed bumps that we might encounter otherwise. So, Caroline, welcome, and that's how I want to start today. So maybe the best thing to do is, why don't you tell us a little bit about who you are and how you ended up with the expertise that you have today and how you got there.
Okay. Well, I think of my expertise as being in career and life coaching, and I think how I got there is because I myself am an extreme career changer, I call it. I started out as a classical pianist. I played since I was 4. I trained at Juilliard and Manhattan School of Music and, entered competitions and thought for a while that I was going to be a pianist. And then by the time I entered college and I had split college with conservatory, I decided, okay, this will be a serious hobby. I'm going to go into business. And so I did a summer internship at a bulge bracket investment bank. I then became a management consultant to the investment banking industry for 4 years. Then I became a retained executive search recruiter, and that's when I really started looking at people's careers. And then I became an actor. I took 2 years off of corporate world and became an actor and supported myself, I say, by becoming a reluctant entrepreneur. I really started stringing together freelance projects. That's when I started teaching at Columbia. I teach professional development there. That's when I started life coaching and started thinking about using my recruiting and HR background towards career and life coaching. So I dabbled in a little bit of that. But I call myself a reluctant entrepreneur because at the time I was really focused on acting and getting that and experiencing, being an actor. And then I took a job within a Fortune 500 company in their HR department. So I moved into corporate HR. I started investing in real estate, and now I say that I am not a reluctant entrepreneur. I'm a determined entrepreneur now. So I have co-launched with a former colleague, Six Figure Start, which is a career coaching firm. And so if you think about all those career changes, pianist, banker, consultant, actor, teacher, life coach, corporate, HR, real estate, and now Six Figure Start, I think that's where my expertise comes from, because I've done the extreme career changes and I can help people do the same.
Talk about juggling lots of balls. And, I realize that that didn't all happen in the course of 1 or 2 years.
Right.
But, it's amazing. There's so much that you've done, and obviously, directly or indirectly, things that you've experienced that are interesting and lessons that I'm sure you learned of what works well and what doesn't work so well. Is that true?
Yes, absolutely. In terms of juggling, I mean, there's always the juggling where you are now to where you are, where you want to be. So there were times where I was taking acting classes, but I was still in my recruiting job. And so my focus was recruiting, but in the backdrop, it was, you know, creating the foundation for what my next move would be, which would be into acting. Also, during this time, you know, I've been married for 14 years. I have two daughters, age 12 and 6, so I was juggling kind of the family life and the family obligations as well. And it's, you know, it's something that I actually work on with my coaching, with my clients, in terms of being very, very specific about what their target is. And I use target broadly in terms of either their target company, if we're talking about a job search, or, you know, a target goal if we're talking about some kind of life change, to be very, very specific about what that target is, and then to figure out what your trade-offs are going to be, because you are going to have to choose. I mean, there, when I'm dropping my kids off to school, I'm 100%, you know, a mom. Now, of course, there are times, you know, I don't become less of a mom if I'm away, but then I'm focused on whatever it is that I'm doing, whether it's a corporate job that I have, or if I'm acting, if it's acting. So you do have to make trade-offs in terms of where you're spending your time and your focus.
Well, and it sounds like not only trade-offs, but would you also call yourself a planner? It sounds like you had, you know, the next move in mind, even though you were doing some things, you know, presently for whatever your current responsibilities are, but you also had your eye down the road in terms of what was coming.
Well, you know, and it's, this is going to sound contradictory, but I tell people to have an extreme focus and a very specific target, but then I also believe in being extraordinarily flexible. So at the same time that I tell you, okay, I was in recruiting and I was creating the groundwork to be an actor, the exact timing of that, it wasn't like I said, okay, year 2000, which is when I actually made the switch, but you know, I didn't have in my date book, okay, January 1, 2000, this is when it's going to happen. It was a combination of, okay, this is the right time just based on the circumstances of the moment, and luckily I had been planning, you know, beforehand. So what I always try to tell people is, you know, you make your best effort in terms of planning, but you also have to be really in tune with what's going on with your life, because had a entrepreneur opportunity or a big promotion or something, you know, if there's some curveball that comes in, you don't necessarily want to walk away from that and say, oh, but I had in my date book that I was going to be an actor starting today.
Right,
you know?
Right. You know, it's interesting. And this theme is, I actually put an article in one of the newsletters recently, maybe 2 months ago, and actually loaded it up as a blog posting about high intention, low attachment. And it sounds like that's a little bit of what we're talking about here, where you set your goals and you have some pretty high intention on achieving that, because that you've decided that's what's important to you. For example, I want to be an actor. And so you go through the steps towards that goal. But then you also low attachment. If it happens exactly as planned, great. But if it doesn't happen exactly as planned, you're flexible, because something else might come up that at that moment in time makes more sense than anything else. Is that accurate for you?
That is absolutely right. I think that's why there's so much truth in life is what happens when you're busy making plans. And so the idea is not that it's all about the plan. The idea is that the plan sets the stage so that you can take advantage of whatever life throws at you.
Yeah, and that's fantastic. And, you know, for those of you who haven't seen that, you can find it on the blog. Just go to the i-saga.net blog page, and you'll catch it there. But let's keep moving. I want to talk about success. It's a question I ask every single guest. And so I know you've listened to some of these interviews, so I know that you're prepared because the question's coming. But, you know, Caroline, how do you define success? What's success to you?
Well, if I have to put it in a word, I would put freedom. So it is the freedom to choose how you're spending your time, what you're spending your energy and your focus on, what you're spending your money on, so that you have the freedom to say, I'm going to invest in this or I'm going to put resources against this. So it's all about freedom, whether it's time or money or what you're physically doing or thinking about.
Mm-hmm. Well, freedom is certainly a theme that I've heard. It's one of my core pieces of the definition of that I would have for success, because that's certainly how I've shaped my career, my time, and what happens for me and my family, and it's a big driver for me.
Right.
And it certainly seems like some form of that is also for many of the guests that I've interviewed here. So people who have reached some pinnacle of success in their career and in their life are certainly talking about why freedom is important to them.
Right, and it doesn't necessarily mean that you're an entrepreneur. You know, sometimes when I say that, people just assume that I mean, oh, okay, I have to quit my day job in order to experience that. And that's really not true. There's something that is quite liberating about working for a company that has resources where you can focus on whatever it is that you're doing within that company and just doing the best job that you're doing. So,
yeah.
You know, when I say freedom, it doesn't necessarily mean entrepreneurial freedom. It just means that you're doing what you want to do, whether that's as an employee or as a business owner.
No, I think that's a very good point. I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, certainly we do have a lot of entrepreneurial types listening, and hello to all of those who are. We also have a lot of employees who are listening and may not be at all interested in going off and doing their own thing, and we're not necessarily saying that that's the only way to achieve the freedom that you're describing. You know, it's interesting. My brother, who's over here in England that we're visiting, you know, the company he works for is fantastic. And I went to visit him on site, last week and, met him for lunch. And, you know, he gave me not the full tour, but he's saying, you know, in fact, earlier that day, he said, you need to come at this time because I'm getting my hair cut. I'm like, well, where are you getting your haircut? He said, well, right here. So, you know, they have all these resources. He's doing a job he likes to do. He has, I think, a lot of the freedoms that he might not have if he works somewhere else. I know the Best Buy headquarters in Minneapolis is just, you know, unbelievable in terms of what they have for resources there. So you can be an employee and still have a lot of the things that you might not have elsewhere.
Right. Again, it's about taking advantage of what's around you, being specific about what you want, and then going after it.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Well, we've talked about some of your career changes where you started playing concert piano, and then next thing you know, you're working in, you know, one of these large companies, and then you were in, you know, an HR role. I think I've got them a little bit backwards and jumbled here, but, you know, you were, you know, the recruiter, and, next thing you know, you're an actor, and
right.
And here you are doing
corporate.
Your own thing.
Right.
You know, so, you know, this meandering course to get where you are, you know, certainly I know you could argue that you wouldn't have all of the skills and experiences, if you hadn't had them, you would not be who you are today. From a decision standpoint, was there any real conscious choice that you made that really just accelerated and jump things, you know, just surge them forward for you? Any tipping points that decided?
Right. When I coach people, I always talk about three categories of people, and over the course of your career, you are going to be in all of these three categories at some point. And I really thought about these three categories because as I looked back at my own career, I thought, oh, yes, these were the decision points. And basically, the first one is when you have absolutely no idea what it is that you want. And for me, that was at times when I was, you know, thinking about, okay, piano is not going to be it for me. What am I going to be doing? You know, in that transition to picking business and thinking about being a consultant and liking that but hating the lifestyle. And so still not having an idea of where exactly I fit. So there was that kind of decision standpoint where I had to spend a lot of time. I read a lot of biographies. I read a lot of business books to try to get ideas. I talked to a lot of people. And so for me, I think of that as, you know, the exploration time where you're really trying to become more self-aware and you're trying to figure out what it is that you can be passionate about and turn into your career and your livelihood. Then there are people who they have an idea, but they just can't seem to either get traction on their idea or, you know, get that promotion, they get to the level that they want. And for me, that came when I had moved from consulting. I was in retained executive search, and I really liked recruiting. And so I think that was what planted the seed, that I really liked the recruiting HR career coaching type aspect. So again, I wasn't career coaching at the time, but it was related and, you know, was kind of planting the seed there. So I was happy, but there was something that wasn't quite right. The other thing too was that I was taking acting classes and really getting excited about that, but I wanted to do more there, and so the balance wasn't quite right. And so there are going to be times in people's lives, and this was the time in my life, where I was close but no cigar. You know, it's kind of like I was almost there but not quite. And then finally, there are times where you're going to feel like you're in the zone and you're doing everything that you're supposed to be doing. And for me, that was when I kind of flip-flopped acting and recruiting and coaching, and where I was focusing on acting full-time and supplementing that with projects in recruiting and with taking on coaching clients. That's when I started teaching at Columbia. And so I really was starting to get into that groove of, this is exactly the way my life is going to turn out. I'm going to be involved in the arts. I'm going to be involved in business. I'm going to be, you know, working for myself. And I had baby number two at that point. And it wasn't that that was, again, it wasn't that that was unplanned. We were setting the foundation for that. We were looking to expand the family. But, you know, you just don't know exactly when this is going to happen. And mm-hmm. So, you know, for me it was, that I had, you know, my second child, but for other people it could be an unexpected layoff. It could be a medical crisis. It could be, you know, some kind of personal crisis. So there are times where everything might be going along swimmingly and then, you know, just something happens that throws you a curveball. And I think for me, thinking about all three of these times is what led me to really devote myself to coaching, because I really believe that you can work through these things proactively, and there's a methodology and there's an approach to getting past all of these times. And if you can just focus on that, you know, you can remain in control and still continue to, you know, live the life of your dreams.
Very good. And it certainly sounds like, you know, you sort of, even though you might have a pretty good plan, you figure this out as you go. And you ended up where your passions lie. And I think that's part of one of your themes, isn't it? That if you're pretty well in touch with what your passion is, that, you know, eventually you'll get there.
Yes, you'll find a way to make it work, even if you don't have the master plan in the beginning.
Right. Well, we're going to shift in just another moment or two to talk about that in more detail and how you actually think through, you know, helping people find their passions and avoiding the obstacles that would sabotage their goals. But before we do that, just one or two more things, and you know, one thing that I really think is important, because it does get at, you know, what the makeup of someone inside, what's the internal, you know, voice, what's the internal game that they're playing, you know, what are your core beliefs and values that guide you? And certainly, we just talked about passion, but, you know, if you could articulate what they are, I think that will help us to see what makes Caroline tick and maybe give us some insights for ourselves.
Right. I think, though, you know, it's funny because I know you asked that question to other people, so I was thinking about that. So I really had to distill it down to a belief because, you know, again, my whole coaching approach is based on being very, very specific and being very, very focused and saying, okay, what trade-offs am I going to make? So obviously I have, you know, many beliefs, I have, you know, a series of values. But what I would say, you know, it all comes down to there is no better time than now. So the idea that everything that you need to make whatever it is that you want work, you have at your disposal right now. It doesn't mean that you don't, there are things that you need to learn or there are people that you need to meet. You know, all those things could be true, but you have within you right now the means to make those things happen. And so it's just a question of harnessing, you know, what you do have right now and going for it right now, not waiting for the perfect time. And I think that's especially true in this economy. You know, I grew up, I was a kid in the 70s when the economy was bad, and then I graduated from college in the early 90s when, you know, the economy was just recovering from downturn in the stock market. And then I started freelancing when the dot-com bubble was just about to break, you know, and then burst, you know, while I was independent. And now we have really just this terrible market where everyone's feeling really anxious and really scared. And, you know, every time you read the paper, there's news about layoffs. And it feels like, oh, my gosh, this is just not a good time to do anything. Why take a chance right now? I should just focus on hanging on. And the reality is that if it's something that you really want, and if you are emotionally ready, you can find the resources right now, even in a terrible market, even with all this anxiety.
Yeah, so independent of what's going on around you, it's really an internal choice and recognizing that you can do it with what you have at your disposal.
Yes, absolutely.
Let me ask you, how many people have you bumped into over the course of your life and the course of your, you know, career counseling and coaching that believe the opposite?
Oh, I mean, I would say it's probably 95% of people believe the opposite, where they're waiting. You know, it's almost like they're waiting for permission. Even, you know, client and coaching is such a difficult activity in terms of for the client. You know, it's really about getting out of your comfort zone and really pushing your limits. And so, you know, I commend my client to make this commitment to do coaching. And yet sometimes I feel like they're waiting. They almost hire coaches because they want permission or they want that confirmation that, is now a good time to make that career change or is now a good time to enter that industry? And
now they have justification
because
you said so.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to talk over you.
No, but it's got to be because they say so, you know, because if they believe they can do it or they can't do it, you know, they're right. I mean, there's that saying that it really gets down to, okay, how badly do you want it and what are you going to do to get it, regardless of what's happening.
Let me just ask everyone who's listening and, you know, do this physically. Raise your hand if you've ever been in a position where you ended up in a place where you weren't really sure what you wanted to do and you were making excuses where, you know, you just couldn't start right now. And so you delayed. And I'll tell you what, I'm raising my hand. Yeah, I know. You know, there's lots of times that's happened. And so, you know, we all do it. And, you know, thankfully I've caught myself on a few occasions and I said, you know, well, why not? Let's just go for it right now because we can pull it off. So anyway, and I'm guessing you're probably raising your hand too because we've all done that.
Yes, absolutely. I have my hand up.
You can put it down now.
Yeah. Guilty as charged.
And so can everyone else. Now, this is great. And I'd like to, if it's okay now, shift away from your personal story and get a little bit more detailed in on, you know, how to make sure we're putting our time and energy in the right place so that we do hit our goals. You know, we'll talk about the obstacles and how to turn those obstacles into resources for you. You ready to do that?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Well, let's start with, why do you think people, not everyone, but some people generally just struggle to achieve their goals? What's the reason?
I think there's a lot of noise outside of, you know, what your goal is. You know, when you ask people what their goal is, sometimes they'll give you something and that's not the complete picture. So, for example, I'm doing a lot of career coaching right now, and someone will say, I am interested in breaking into the media industry. But that's not really the entire story. It's I'm interested in breaking into the media industry, and I would like a six-figure job, and I would like to have X, Y, Z. You know, so there's this whole laundry list of other things going on outside of whatever their first goal is. And so they're just either not specific enough or they're not exactly aware of what the end goal is, and so they end up chasing something, in this case, you know, getting into the media industry, and then that doesn't get them to where they ultimately had wanted to go, and then they get confused, and then they get discouraged, and then the whole thing just falls apart. So if you think about, you know, the goal, it's really you identify the goal and you do whatever it is that you have to do to get it. So those are two steps. It's very, you know, simple, but at the same time, it's just not easy to do. And I'm guilty of that, you know, where I say that I want to do something, and then I really have to coach myself and to ask myself, okay, so why do I want this? Okay, is there another way to get it? So is it that I want? Or, you know, I mean, to really confirm what your goals are.
Right. Well, for all of you who came a little bit late, we're talking with Caroline. Oh, boy.
Denise Levine. You were so good.
Denise Levine. And it is exactly how, you say it exactly how it's spelled.
Yes.
Well, anyway, this, you know, once again, iSaga.net. And, you know, so for the people who do struggle because they don't have the whole picture all clear in their mind, what is it that people who are actually on the other side of the coin, the super successful, what are they doing that other people don't?
Well, I would say that they're very clear, you know, on their purpose, so that everything that they do is serving either a specific goal or their overall, you know, ideal life. And they're also very specific about what they're not doing. So, you know, for example, you know, I see a lot of people, you know, even, you know, clients, and I try to get them out of this habit, who do a lot of things to keep themselves busy. So when I ask them what they're doing, let's say, let's go back to the person who wants to break into the media business. So it's a job search. And they'll talk all about, you know, looking through the want ads and, you know, going through the internet and posting their resume here, there, and everywhere. And those tactics may or may not work, but they're feeling very busy and they're feeling like they're doing something. And so I think successful people are very good about taking a step back and saying, not only, you know, what should I be doing, but also what shouldn't I be doing?
Right.
Be able to walk away from those things and not worry that they're not busy 24/7.
So the equation is not about how busy you are equals success, but maybe how clear you are and how focused you are on the actions that will clearly get you to where you need to be.
Yes, absolutely. Because you can't be so focused 24/7. I mean, I find that I do my best work when I have a lot of downtime in between the major tasks that I'm doing. So I might catch a movie in the middle of the afternoon because I just can't think anymore because I've been really focused in the morning, and I can't maintain that level of intensity. And, you know, I think that people need to figure out exactly when they do their best work and just honor that. And if that means 10 o'clock at night, you know, then they need to find a way to make that happen. So for those, you know, if you have 9-to-5 jobs, you know, that's a little bit trickier if you have to physically be somewhere and be doing a job. But there are still typically ways, you know, because I've worked in corporate America for most of my career. I haven't been on my own for the majority of my career. So there are ways to do it even when you're working for someone else to figure out when is your peak performance time and what should you be doing during that time.
Right, right, and manage your schedule accordingly.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I think we've all had those moments where, you know, we thought, oh my God, I have so much to do. I have such a, you know, my goal is huge. I've got to get there. And you know, you think that 24/7 is the only way to actually achieve it. But, you know, I've also had quite a number of guests on who had to do with, you know, topics like teaching us to pause in between what you were just talking about, whether it's going to a movie or, you know, catching, you know, 10 minutes of just quiet reflection meditation time. And, you know, that I've learned in the last year is super important. And what a big difference it makes in my day when things are pretty hectic, you know, to actually find a way to break away just to mentally, you know, do a quick pause.
Right.
And then reset. The other thing you said I think is very important I want to call attention to is that some of these super successful people will actually recognize what not to do, and then they choose to not do it. And I'm going to relate that to some of the companies. I've talked about that theme with businesses because, of course, I do consulting to companies and to, you know, to corporate America and, you know, companies outside of the U.S. as well. And, you know, one of the things that a lot of businesses get themselves into is they know that they have all of these things that they read about, they hear about, they benchmark other people, they have exposure to, you name the topic, all of these different themes, whether it's, you know, innovation related and new product development, and then the next thing, it's, you know, the latest, greatest, you know, maybe production methodology, so they want to, you know, fine-tune their operations. And then, you know, the next thing is some new management systems that they want to try out and get in place. And then there's some IT thing that they want to put in place. And they want to do it all at once. And they, you know, in my experience, what's happening is they become, instead of clear and focused, they become distracted, and it becomes an exercise of being busy as opposed to being impactful.
Right. There's that noise again about getting things done instead of taking a step back and saying, okay, what's the ultimate goal here and how can I
Yeah. You know, for an individual, you have a limited resource, and that's your time of 24/7 in a week, and how are you going to spend it so that you can not only hit the goals you have, but have your sanity and whatever else is important to you so that you have the full balance for who you are. For a company, it's the same thing. You have a limited number of resources, and they are the people that work for you or the people that you can contract in because you don't have enough resource, but you certainly don't have infinite resource in terms of time and money and people and all that. So everyone, individuals, corporations, businesses, even entrepreneurs who might be solo or small, have to make some choices to stay focused and clear of what's most important to you. So, you know, thank you for bringing that in, and I wanted to highlight that from the company side, because I do know that that's a big issue as well.
Right.
Let's talk about those obstacles. You speak about four obstacles to achieving our goals. Why don't you start with just letting us know what they are, and then we can maybe dive in a little bit to each, and we'll just kind of roll with it and see where it takes
us. Well, you alluded to it a little bit when you talked about resources, because as we both talked about at the top of the call, the obstacles, if you turn them on their head, are really the solutions as well and the resources that you have. And so when I listen to people say why they can't achieve whatever goal it is that they've come to me to help them achieve, it's usually four things. I don't have the time, I don't have the money, or in some cases, well, I need the money so I can't make the shift right now. I don't have the, and I put here physical fill in the blank, so it's something physical. I don't have, you know, the skills, I don't have the training, I'm too old, I'm too young, I don't have the right look. And then there's also the emotional fill in the blank. So I don't have the risk constitution for this. I don't have the entrepreneurial mindset for this. I don't have, you know, the CEO mindset to get promoted or whatever. So it's always something about time, about money, about something in your physical presence, and then also, you know, emotional. But if you flip that on its head, those are the only four resources that you have. You know, when I talk about everything you have to achieve your goals you have right now, it is, you know, you are the one who's in control of your time. And you have money, you know, otherwise, well, you know, I don't think anyone who's on this call is homeless and doesn't, you know, have enough to eat, right? So everyone has their physical needs taken care of, and there's a question about, do you buy that new outfit, or do you take that class, or do you put that in your nest egg so that you can take more risks later on? You know, so everyone does have choices about what they're doing with their money.
So it's almost like if you think of Maslow, you know, we're all breathing. We probably have food and shelter. And so the rest of it is basically choice.
Absolutely, because, yes, we're beyond that, you know, kind of survival level. You know, people are starting to think about, you know, success and goal achievement, right? And that's why they're listening in on these calls. It's because they know that there's something more out there than just surviving. You know, people want to be thriving. So, you know, so there is a choice then about exactly what you're going to do to get there.
I'm following along. I got it. And so when you talk about time and money and your physical capabilities and your emotional capabilities, it's interesting that you just said something I think is important. And that is, those are really the only things that we have.
Everything
we have really falls into that. And so you can either have the mental internal programming and perspectives and beliefs that say, what I have is enough and I can go do this right now, or you can talk yourself out of it and say, I can't do it because, and then you fill in the blank with some excuse.
And businesses, you know, you talked about being a business consultant, and I was a business consultant. Businesses are very, very good about resource management if they're a good business. You know, they're very good about saying, okay, what is our business? So for McDonald's, for example, they serve food fast, and it's always the same quality across all of the different restaurants. And so all of their resources are towards that. You know, they sales and marketing and their operations and their distribution and everything is going to be against that particular goal. And I think for individuals, they have to start thinking about it that way. So if someone comes to me and says that they want to make a career change or they want to move to a new job, you know, I don't just talk to them. Of course, I will talk to them about their resume and about their network and their interviewing skills and all the tactical things about the job. But there are other things as well in terms of, you know, how much time do they have to dedicate to their search? Are they going to block out their lunch hour? Are they going to make sure that their evenings are free? Because, you know, if they have a current job, you know, we have to work around that situation. How much are they willing to invest against this? So it's not just dollars in terms of, you know, hiring a resume writer or hiring a coach. It's more about, are you putting money aside? Are you paying down debt so that you feel secure, so that you have your personal bottom line, you know, gives you the security to take risks if you decide to switch to a different industry that may or may not pay as much, or if you have to take a step back in your career and take a little bit less salary in order to get on the career path that you like? Can you take those risks because you've taken care of the money piece? So, and then, you know, in terms of your physical energy, you know, are you going to go home and just turn on the TV and boom, it's 4 hours later and you've watched four episodes of Law and Order? Or are you really going to, do company research and network with people and get yourself out there? And in terms of emotionally, you know, are you going to make that commitment to really getting that new job? And are you willing to put yourself on the line and say, this is what I want, I'm going to go for it? And so that when you are networking with people and talking to people, people see that this is something that you really want, and they don't see a desperate, anxious, or fearful person.
And that, again, is an internal wiring perspective to be perceived as desperate and fearful because, oh, my goodness, I need to have this, and I don't know how, and so therefore all of these negative energy things start coming up, as opposed to, I know what I want, I'm going the extra mile. I'm going to forego, you know, the Law and Order episode, you know, once a week, twice a week, every night, whatever the case may be, depending on your level of dedication. But because you're dedicated, you're hammering away at those extra things so that when the opportunity does come up and shows its face, you say, oh, good to see you. I've been waiting for you.
Right.
Let's go take it on.
You know, and it's about internal wiring, but just as it is with businesses where you can have management consultants, and you and I, you know, are both consultants, and so we know this, you can go into a business and you can fix a business. It's not about woo-woo, this is just their culture. And similarly, with an individual, there are specific things that you can do so you can be aware of where you're spending money. I mean, I have exercises with all my clients in terms of really documenting, just like a business has to produce an income statement and has to know where their cash is and has to know what their assets and liabilities are. Individuals need to know that for themselves, so they know how much money they have to invest in whatever next venture they're doing. They know how much risk they can take and how much return on that risk, on that investment they need to have. In terms of their time, businesses know, you know, their customers, or they should know their customers. They should know which clients take a lot of their time, which clients buy a lot of services from them, for example. And likewise, an individual should be aware of, okay, I have a 9-to-5, or I have a corporate job that takes 50 hours of my time. And so that's, you know, my boss is one client. But I'm also married, and so my spouse is a client. And I also have children. So my children are clients in the sense that they are taking, you know, hours and, you know, energy, and we need to focus on that. So you can look at it that way and say, okay, if I'm trying to make a change and I'm trying to be more family focused, if this is a work-life balance issue, well, you can definitely look back at a time log, just like a business will look at their billable hours and say, client X is our biggest client. You know, you'll know if you're a family focused career person if you see 100 hours logged to your boss and 2 hours logged to your family. You know, so there are definitely quantitative and measurable and strategic ways of doing this and changing the wiring, and not just having it be about, you know, how do you feel, or, you know, can you do this, or really believe that you can do this. You know, I mean, there are definitely things that you can proactively do.
Right, and it sounds like you have a whole host of exercises and things that you've done with some of your clients.
Yeah, I have them do diaries and audits, and because it's really, sometimes it's just the awareness piece when it's staring people in the face. Oh, I logged in 10 hours for Law and Order. You know, I mean, I come up with that example because I've seen it, you know. So I think people just really don't realize how much time or how much of their other resources they fritter away.
Well, let's talk about the TV one. I've heard some stats. I don't have any of them in front of me. But how much TV does someone watch in the course of a typical day?
The last statistic that I saw was that Americans watch on average 20 hours a week, right? So that's enough time for a part-time job.
Yeah.
And, you know, it doesn't have to be, you know, TV doesn't necessarily have to be the habit. It could also be people who are constantly on the Internet. I actually think that's a bigger time suck, if you will. Nowadays, you know, people feeling like they have to check their email, you know, every 5 minutes or read everything that, you know, comes across, you know, their inbox. And so it really is about, we talked earlier about what do successful people do that unsuccessful people don't, and it's about staying on point and staying within the purpose. And with everything that people are doing, before you spend that dollar or before you sit down to do whatever task you're doing, to ask yourself, okay, what is this serving? And is this part of my overall success plan, or is this just, you know, can I be doing something else with whatever, my money or my time? Or?
And that sounds like it really goes back to the clarity in the first place. So if you have clarity to what it is you want, whether it's your higher purpose in life or just even your, you know, what's your goal and your focus for this phase of your life or even this year, if you know that with clarity and you remind yourself of it regularly, these are some of the things that we talk about of, you know, writing out your purpose statement and sticking it on your bathroom mirror or your goal for the year in your bathroom mirror or creating a vision board type thing. You know, if you're, you know, whatever that is, if you have, you know, we've heard examples of somebody who wants to earn six figures, you know, to write down the $100,000 number. Maybe it's a $100,000 bill and sticking it on the mirror, you know, so that you have the constant reminder, even if it's just a microsecond of glancing at it, so that you're reminded what it is you're all about, as opposed to the people who, first of all, maybe have forgotten what's important to them
Right. Because
they get caught up, or maybe they never even figured out with any sort of clarity what's important to them in the first place. They're just bouncing around like a pinball in a machine, aren't they?
Right. It's about making conscious decisions with everything that you're doing so that you're taking back control of whether it's your job search or your career or whatever life goal it is, and saying, okay, I am choosing what I am doing, and so I am empowering myself to get the result that I want rather than just
Right. Letting
whatever happen.
So with each of these four, so for example, time, if you wanted to help someone their arms around the time that they're spending, you would give them something like an inventory of how they are spending their time to build awareness.
Yeah, I call it a time diary. I have people log their time in half-hour increments, and it seems a little bit bizarre to people, but, you know, I have them do it. If they can do it for at least a week, that's ideal, so you can see kind of the ebbs and the flows. And then I have people assign each of these activities to a client. So like I said, you know, if you are currently employed, you know, in a corporation and you're there, say, 8 to 6, you could itemize all that time. You could say that all of that time is to your boss, and that's, you know, that's that one client. But then what do you do after that? Then you go home, you have dinner with the kids, so that's to your family. Then you pay some bills, that's to your finances, et cetera. And so, because I challenge people, you know, if they say that they are working towards, say, another job or starting their own venture, you know, to really look at that diary and say, okay, and how much of this time was dedicated then to your next venture? There could be pockets within, say, the workday, like the lunch hour or, you know, right before or after work, that they could be working on the business instead of just mindlessly, you know, socializing with whoever happens to be there. So there are just ways of just becoming more conscious about your time and then finding pockets where you can make a change and make those changes, and that'll lead to more changes, and then, you know, at least you'll be working towards something as opposed to just letting all this time go by.
Right. And I have a pretty clear picture of what you mean there. I've done things similar, not anywhere near the half-hour exercise that you're talking about, but certainly you want to know, where does time go, and how can I create a little bit of extra time, and what decisions do I need to make? And, you know, frankly, for me, that's what led to do things like outsource the lawn mowing, for example. As much as I like to be outside, I had to make a choice, and, you know, frankly, with the acre lot that I have, it was taking me a long time.
Right.
So now somebody else does that, and I created a couple extra time, couple extra hours. And, you know, for someone who, at, you know, it's very streaky, but when I'm traveling and I'm away from home, but, you know, I want to spend time with my family when I'm home. I don't want to be catching up on, you know, yard work errands and things.
Right. And
you
so
know,
that's also
the choices.
Right. And that's also where it becomes getting clear on the goals, because, you know, one of your goals then might be to save a specific, you know, nest egg. And then you have to look at, okay, but you have to hire the lawn person. Are you really going to use the hours that you save for something that's very, very important to you? Or are you just, you know, so there are different trade-offs.
Yeah, so the trade-off is the expense bringing in value, whether it's financial or it could equate to what you're paying, that's same or greater than. And in
yeah.
my case, you know, I'm not necessarily spending that time on activities that are make, well, in some cases I am. I should take that back. So let me say it this way. You know, by not spending the, you know, say 2 hours a week on some of that stuff, I'm either having some badly needed family time that I wouldn't have had in a streak of where I've been away from home for a while, or I'm able to spend it on business building activities, you know, during the times that I'm not
right.
spending with my family, because I'm spending enough time with them because I have the balance at that, you know, during
right.
that streak, if you will.
And either way, that's a conscious decision, and it's not just about I'm in the habit of hiring a lawnmower, and so I'm just going to go ahead and do that regardless of what's happening in my financial situation, or
right.
regardless of what I'm doing with that extra time.
Got
and
it.
Clearly, you've made that cost-benefit calculation like a good business would, and like a good individual should.
Yeah, it was well thought out. Now, similar question to, you know, what you do to find time, you know, how do you find money? And we just talked a little bit, we alluded to making smart decisions with some sort of cost-benefit trade-off. Now, if somebody's making, you know, X thousands of dollars a year, and they know that in order to make their goal, which maybe their goal is to double it, so wherever you're at, you want to double that income level, but you have to do some things along the way that require some investing. How do you help that person create some pockets of money so that they can actually go and invest?
Right. Well, again, the first piece is the awareness piece. So like we have to figure out where the time is going, we have to figure out where the money is going. And so I have, you know, a little personal, you know, balance sheet that I give to people to fill out, not because I have to know the specific numbers, because I want them to know the specific numbers. It's amazing how some people, I'll say to them, okay, you have a cell phone, how much does your cell phone cost? And they'll estimate. They'll say, well,
right.
I think it's like $90 a month. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, you've had a cell phone for years. You don't know how much this costs? Because people don't. They might know big things like rent or mortgage, and sometimes not even that, to be honest, but
mm-hmm.
they won't know things like their electric bill or, you know, things that they really, you know, ought to be aware of. So there are certain expenses that people have already committed to. And, you know, and obviously people have the salary that they have, and any kind of change is going to take some time. And so there needs to be a point in time awareness, you know, so for right now, what is coming in and what is going out that you have already committed to. And I find that a lot of people, again, with the awareness issue, they'll estimate, oh, I'm spending $300 eating out. I have people go back to where they're spending money. So in terms of look at the credit card statements, you know, take a three-month snapshot and really calculate that and see if what you're estimating is true. And typically it's not. They're underestimating by a lot. They have a lot of variable expenses, and they really don't know where their money is going. So first we have to find what, if any, kind of extra money there is. and then get on a plan to move that money, you know, into things that are actually going to pay back, you know, for their dreams. So, for example, when I had to flip to recruiting and acting, I mean, I made my first year as an actor. So, as you know, from acting, I made $200. Okay, so I went from a six-figure salary to a three-figure salary, you know, as an actor, right? And so I knew that that was going to happen because I had, you know, read about the industry, and I knew that 80% of actors didn't make more than $5,000 in a year, you know, and you know, all these terrible statistics. And so I said to myself, okay, if I'm going to make a go at this, and if I really want to spend at least a year doing nothing else but acting, I'm going to have to basically have saved my after-tax salary, you know, to live on while I'm, you know, going to classes and all this other stuff. And so
right.
That's what I did for 2 or 3 years was that I, you know, tried to live on less. I was just very conscious of where I was spending money. But to me, it didn't feel like deprivation at the time because, again, I was working towards something. And that's part of keeping that goal in mind. You know, and part of being very specific about your goal is, so my goal was I wanted to take that year off to really devote to acting. I didn't want to take that year off to devote to acting and maintain my lifestyle and maintain a certain salary. And, you know, so it was just that one goal. And, so of course, mm-hmm. I could hit that one goal because I was willing to make trade-offs other places.
And then you have a win under your belt, and it feels good, and it builds momentum that you can go tackle the next thing.
Right, and then you can figure out, because it's not sustainable to live on $200 a year and to think that I can just, you know, then make money and then take a year off. And then, you know, so how do you make that sustainable? What are the things that worked? And by taking that year off and really focusing on acting, I realized that there were certain parts of the business that I didn't like. I didn't want to do, say, live theater, for example. I really liked improv. I still do improv. You know, so there are things that you learn about yourself, and you're able to, you know, make adjustments that you can't make from the outside, you know, that you might not know just looking in.
Right. Well, we're closing in. I've got one eye on the clock, and so I want to make sure that we build in a couple stories maybe of people who are not you or me.
Right.
Because that's what we've been building into this case so far. So think of some of the people that you've coached and some of their either problems and challenges that they came to you with or their success stories. What would be germane to the conversation? Just go ahead and give us an example or two.
Yeah, I'm working with someone right now. So it's an ongoing assignment. And he is, you know, he's an executive-level person. He's had 20-something years with the same company, and he's quite senior. But he knows in the back of his mind that he wants to do something else.
Mm-hmm.
And yet he has obviously a certain salary, and he's got family obligations and things like that. So for him it's about how can I identify what that something else is and kind of make those plans while continuing what I'm doing. You know, how can I set that stage for that transition and then still honor his other obligations? And so we're working on exactly kind of that resource allocation issue that we're talking about in terms of where is he spending his time, you know, where is his financial situation, can he build up a nest egg to account for maybe that he might have to take a step back in salary because he's not going to go to an executive level in another industry potentially.
Mm-hmm.
And so really working down all those, you know, things and in terms of skill set and training is what is he going to need? So what are the physical steps he's going to have to take? And then emotionally, you know, how is he going to feel about that, you know, change? And then also, this is a career change, and so we're working on very tactical and specific things like his interview technique and his two-minute pitch and his resume, because at the end of the day, you know, someone who hasn't been on the market that long doesn't have the most up-to-date skills about what employers are looking for. The fact that I've been a former recruiter, I can tell him exactly how he's going to be perceived and, you know, how the job process works from the inside. And so we work on those tactical things as well.
Right, of course. And so, yeah, go ahead. Keep going.
Well, I was going to say, you know, and then, you know, I also work with groups. You know, my firm, Six Figure Start, went into a liberal arts college to do some interview training for you know, again, liberal arts students, so English history majors who wanted to break into business type jobs, so consulting and investment banking. And it was really to do very specific technical interviews, give them feedback. So essentially, these students are practicing on us instead of practicing on their dream employer. So again,
right.
You know, that's the thing about coaching is that it gives you this safe space to ask the basic questions, the dumb questions, you know, and to make the mistakes and to really get that feedback and that practice before launching, you know, again, if it's an idea or if it's a job search or, you know, walking into an interview, you know, unrehearsed.
Well, and, you know, rehearsing is, you know, getting it right and practicing. And it's not, you know, it's not practice makes perfect, but perfect practice makes perfect. And so, you know, with someone like you who can help coach to make the answer, you know, perfect, if you will, for that person in that situation, and then they practice it over, it's really, you know, also a form of visualization, if you will, because now it's starting to lock in. They know what it looks like and sounds like and feels like, so that when the conversation is real with their dream employer, as you say, it's now a natural conversation as opposed to, you know, feeling stressed and concerned and, you know, fearful and fumbling over the answer because you're
right.
Not sure what to say.
Exactly.
Very good. But what I'd like to do is make sure that you, we've talked for an hour, and I want to make sure that you have the opportunity to share with us anything that we didn't cover that you really wanted to make sure that the listeners had a chance to hear about you or about your insights. So is there anything that you want to provide?
Yeah, I mean, I just wanted to mention, and it's probably going to be on the iSaga website, you know, under this event, but I wanted to direct people to my website so that if they, you know, have any questions, that has my contact information, and it also has a link to my newsletter, which has, you know, articles and tips, and so people can get, you know, inspiration and ideas, you know, directly. And so I have a career coaching website, which is www.sixfigurestart.com, and that's SIXfigurestart, no spaces.com. And then a life coaching website, which is www.thinkasinc.com, and it's thinkasinc.com, the idea being, you know, think as if you're a company. We talked about, again, applying, you know, business strategy techniques, things that make businesses so successful to your individual life.
I like that because, when, you know, when you first said Think as Inc., I thought I-N-K, and my next question would have been, what does, you know, how does that fit in? You know, how did that come up? And, you know, I-N-C makes perfect sense because, you know, each of us, we are our own business. We are the CEO of our own personal responsibilities. And, you know, I mean, you would be fun to work with, I think, for just about anyone who is actually thinking of making any real change, because it sounds like you're very structured in how you would actually approach, you know, what I call in the business world, doing a diagnostic, if you will, fact-finding, where are you today, and what's
exactly
your potential look like? And, you know, you've got a series of assessments and the diary type tools that you do to help people walk through and figure that out. I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's all doable. This isn't just pie in the sky. It's definitely, you can take actionable steps, and regardless of the market, you can be exactly where you want to be right now.
Right. Well, that's fantastic. And so for those of you who are still hanging on, I see some people still webcasting, and thanks for joining us to the end. And for those of you on the phone, thanks again. This has been a really cool hour with some good insights. And Caroline, thank you so much. You know, I think that what some of the things that I picked up on today are really to do with, you know, the idea of doing a nice, thorough, solid job at understanding, you know, where does the time go? Where does the money go? Do I have the skills in place and the emotional makeup required to be where I'm headed? And, you know, some of those things I've been doing, but probably not as deliberate and consciously as I could, especially given what I learned from what you talked about today. So that's one of the things I'm making a note to myself. And we'll see where I come out.
Okay, terrific. Let me know.
Maybe there's a few changes in there.
Thanks so much, Pete.
Excellent. Well, so everyone, once again, Institute of Success and Goal Achievement. You can find us at www.i-saga.net. Please do take a look at our site. Get on the list for the newsletter. There are some free giveaways and things, and you can check out some of the things that we've been up to on the blog page. We will post a little summary about today's interview with Caroline on the blog, and so you can see it. And I would really encourage you, by the way, to when you do this, go to the blog and post a reply to it, you know, because we'd like to hear what you think of not only what I do with iSaga, but what the guests have to say. And, of course, they have the opportunity to go there and read these things as well. So looking forward to interacting with all of you again in the future. So, Caroline, thank you so much. It was a pleasure today. You had great content, and I really enjoyed talking to you.
Thanks so much, Pete, for having me.
You bet. Take care, everyone. Catch you again.